Street Chess Motherfucking Podcast.
Make some noise!
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hey, Segre, this your boy N.O.R.E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN.
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players.
You know what I mean?
In the most professional, unprofessional podcast, and your number one source for drunk facts.
It's Street Chess Motherfucking Podcast,
where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go. It's time for Drink Champs. Drink up, motherfucker.
Segre, hope you're stopping you. This is your boy N.O.R.E.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
And this is the motherfucking Drink Champs Podcast. Make some noise!
And right now, we got one of the illest basketball players, one of the best people alive. And he's been doing movies. I seen him in, what's the movie he was in? What movie was Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
Getting Adam Sandler money.
What was that? Yeah, one of the movies.
Let's make some noise for Barry Davis. So the crazy thing is, you're one of these people that transitioned, meaning you actually had a illustrious NBA career, and then you actually transitioned to do other things.
Yeah.
How did you come up with that?
I'm from LA, so
okay.
Just
Bay Area?
No,
what part of LA?
From LA.
What part of
LA? I'm still gonna pop my collar.
We pop our collar for the Bay all day. You know what I mean? I was born and raised in LA, South Central, and then I went to private school in Santa Monica. So I always, my grandmother always told me have a backup plan, plan. So I always wanted to make movies and, tell stories and things like that, especially because, it was the stories that kept me alive and that's how I got to the NBA, you feel me?
Now, nowadays, the NBA,
mm-hmm.
It seems a little soft. It seems back then, the Knicks had beef with the Bulls.
Yeah, for sure.
We knew that when the Bulls came in town, we're going to rough them up.
Yeah, for sure.
They're going to get roughed up. Nowadays, the NBA seems like if you go like this, it's technical foul.
It's been finessed.
It's not the best now.
When you think about it, though, the game got to evolve, right? The game getting way faster.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't play like you did back in the day, right?
True.
Can't be no Charles Oakley's, because then it wouldn't be no LeBron James and no Kevin Durant.
Because Charles Oakley be elbowing niggas.
Yeah, come on, man. Yeah. You can't play that way. So, I kind of came in at the late stage of that, where, dudes were still fighting, chunk them and all that.
They
and
elbowed then, you as well.
Yeah, everybody got elbowed, but you got to elbow back. You know what I mean? And it's that's how you earn your respect.
Right,
you feel what I'm saying? Right. And it was more so a tough thing or a respect thing. And, really it was about the vets, just like your older brother kind of bullying you as a kid. You feel what I'm saying? And so you learn a lot through that. You feel what I'm saying?
You think you could have survived in today's NBA?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because you think it's weaker?
No. I could play right now because it's just more suited towards the game that, I could play. You know what I mean? I can shoot. I can pass still. I can drive. I can still defend. I can still, and it's faster. So you're moving up and down the court, and it's not a lot of contact. And so when I played, it was always I had to play in a post, or guard a bigger guard, or play more than just being a point guard. And so now in today's era, I can probably just be a point guard and be cool with that, or a guard out there.
So Fat Joe had told me the other day, right? I'm hanging out with Fat Joe, and Fat Joe says, "Yo, being an athlete and being a radio personality is pretty much the same thing." And I'm like, "Fat Joe, what the fuck are you talking about? I feel like you're retarded." And then he goes, "Look, if you're an athlete, you can wake up the next day, you can play for Charlotte, and then the next day be in fucking LA Clippers."
Yeah.
And then the next day, and he's like, that's how radio personality is.
Yeah.
So I didn't get it at first.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever been traded to a place where you didn't want to be?
Hell yeah.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it,
man. Oh, man, I got
you
traded to Cleveland. So
you want
to
be?
You never know. Look, the cold thing about it, dog, is you never know you're getting traded. Because you see people get traded, you're like, damn, that motherfucker got traded, dog. Like, damn, that's fucked up. You know what I mean? And they're like, you don't never know you get traded until you like, oh, shit. Like, damn, it's me. You know what I mean? And I was in the locker room. Uh-huh. And so Coach Vinny Del Negro, after, you know, we had did the Live City and All-Star Weekend, I was still kind of playing hurt. Blake was still kind of coming back.
And what team was
he on? With the Clippers.
It was the Clippers.
And so Coach Vinny Del Negro was like, man, look, you brought us this whole Live City, this whole thing. Like, you know, like.
You brought Live City.
We gonna sit you out, you know what I mean? And like, let you kind of like heal, you know, your grandma dying, things like that.
God
we
bless.
Know what you're going through.
God bless.
You feel what I'm saying? So we just gonna sit you out, you know, to use the next couple of games on the road, let the young guys play, because we feel like we got enough next year to, like, be able to, like, do something. I'm like, all right, cool. So, you know, OKC game coming. He's like, well, you know, I said I was going to sit you out, but, you know, you don't mind playing. I'm like, I don't. But, like, damn, dog, you just told me I was hurt to sit out. I play. So then the next game, we're in New Orleans, and he like, I'm thinking, like, all right, I played in OKC. I'm going to play in New Orleans. He's like, nah, you're going to sit out. And I'm like, all right. He was like, you don't even have to come out. I was like, all right, I ain't got to come out. You know, I don't want to sit on the bench, you know what I mean, and be hurt. I'm back in New Orleans, you know what I mean? I don't want to hear that. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking he doing me a favor. And then, like, halftime come in, somebody like, yo, dog, you heard you getting traded? I'm like, hell no, you tripping, dog. You tripping.
Yeah,
I'm just sitting out. I'm just sitting in the back, chilling, waiting for us to get on the plane. You feel me?
and you get a text or a tweet?
Man, I ain't get nothing, dog. I don't get nothing. I'm just sitting in the back, you know, stretching, watching the game and shit. I ain't hear nothing. I ain't hear nothing. Then next thing you know, the game started rolling around after the game. Mm. And then people like, yo, like, you know, like, it's all quiet and shit.
Wait, so are you saying that your teammates knew you?
No, I don't think they knew. Okay, I don't think nobody knew. At that time, the only people knew was the team, right, and the coach. And so my teammates didn't know, and then a reporter said something like, yo, like a reporter was like, yo, you better call your agent because they trying to trade you to Cleveland.
Wow.
And Cleveland didn't have LeBron.
They
and I was like, oh, they're not, hell no. I can't step
they,
in and go somewhere else,
Steph?
You know what I mean?
Have Steph? No, not Steph. No. What's the other
nigga
name?
No.
Kyrie.
No. Because they traded me and the number one pick, which was Kyrie, to Cleveland.
Oh.
So that's how Cleveland got the number one pick.
Oh.
That's how they got Kyrie.
That's how they got Kyrie.
But I'm sitting in the locker room like, all right, well, shit, let me put on my shit. And then next thing you know, I'm like, man, I'm getting traded. And my agent like, hell yeah.
Now describe that. Describe how it is being like in one city one day, and then the very next day, you got to go to another city. You got to get along with people that you was just beefing with, right?
I mean.
Or is that not really how the NBA
sometimes,
is?
Sometimes, like, you know, but you got to, you know, you got to go to work with the same person. You know what I'm saying? And really, like, it ain't really no real beef. You know what I mean? Like, everybody really got no beef with each other. You know,
Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo Ball.
Yeah. Is that? Because the very first day, right, he comes in the NBA. And this guy comes straight up to him.
Yeah.
And was like, I forget what he did.
Patrick Beverly.
Yeah.
Beverly. I forget. And to me, it was like, that's like me welcoming a new artist to hip hop.
Yeah.
It's
like,
look, nigga, you could get money, but it's going to be rough out here.
Right.
How did you feel when you seen that moment?
I kind of liked it for Lonzo. You know,
for him?
Yeah,
wow.
For
that's
Lonzo,
that's real.
Because it's like,
it's good for him.
Now it's like automatically, that's what it is, homie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So from he gonna get everybody best. You know, Patrick Beverly gonna be Patrick Beverly.
He's been one of the defensive players, that's how he programmed.
So it ain't no he ain't gonna play nobody no different. You know what I mean? And you know and play that style no different. But with this rookie, you know, national TV. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like. That's kind of like if I'm a rookie and I'm him, that's kind of, I like that. I want that because I'm going to remember you, dog.
Right.
And I'm going to always remember that moment. So once I get the edge, I'm going to kick your ass every time. You know what I mean? I'm going to dog you out once I get better than you, once I get stronger than you. Once you can't do that to me no more, I'm going to dog you out. So, you know, it's just a matter of that shit make him want to work harder because that's a measuring stick. You feel what I'm saying? It's like day one, that's the measuring stick.
Right.
Like, he a dog, he a wolf. Like, I got to shake him off.
But is that how the NBA used to be? like when you come into the league? If you're newcomer,
that's always been my mentality. You know, I think the younger kids is different. You know what I mean? Like, because, you know, they're judged differently. You know what I mean? They're not judged by diving on the floor. You know what I mean? The heart and the hustle. It's more about the stats, the position, and playing your role, doing other things. You know what I'm saying? And so, because they scoring a lot of points, it's more so like when you watch guys, everybody kind of playing in patterns. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a lot of isolation. It's not a lot of post up and things like that. It's a lot more ball movement. And more they play fast break or secondary fast break basketball.
Now let's get to the elephant in the room. I know me and you is on the same level. You don't even know. Do the Knicks have a chance? Is Paul Zingas, what's that nigga name?
Paul Zingas.
The fucking unicorn.
No, he's nice.
Do we?
He's nice.
Yo, Baron, you my nigga.
He's nice.
In my mind, me and you knew each other for a long time.
For sure. Let me tell you something, dog. He's for sure.
And why are they doing better since Melo left? I can't believe this.
You know, one, it's early in the season. You know what I mean?
And Phil Jackson's an asshole. Let's just throw that out there.
A little bit. I don't know.
Phil Jackson's an asshole.
I definitely think that Phil Jackson.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, nigga, something.
Phil Jackson is.
I seen Phil Jackson walking down the street. It's just me and him, and I had to look at him. I felt like I couldn't take him.
I felt like he was gonna be out of pocket.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I sized him up. And I said, this nigga might win right now. I said, Phil, I want to fuck you up.
And he put hands on you.
He looked at me and said, you better relax. I said, cool.
You better think otherwise.
I let him walk away. I ain't asked for a picture or nothing.
I remember when you told me that.
I told you, I just seen Phil Jackson. I said, he was dolo. And I looked at him, I said, Phil, you fucking up. And he looked at me and said, look, little nigga, you better relax.
That's what he said?
No, he definitely said that in his eyes. But, dude, we got a chance. As a Knicks fan, listen, I'm going to be honest, Baron. Look, let me finish my statement.
Let me get some more water.
Yeah, you can get water, you can get whatever you want. Listen, as a Knicks fan, we've been disappointed for 20 decades. We just want one chance. You know, as a person who wears Jordans, I really hate that man.
Right.
Because every year, I felt like we were going to make it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he would hit the last shot.
Yeah, yeah.
You motherfucker.
Right, right.
Pippen, he lives in Miami now. I see him. I probably never spoke to him.
Yeah.
I probably never said hi.
Right.
Because the Bulls, they just killed our career. Look, am I lying? Look, you feeling this.
Nightmares.
Do you think the Knicks, do we have even a slight bit of a chance? No? I feel like you better say no.
To be honest, I don't know. Mm. I always say the Knicks have a chance because it's New York and the heart and the energy of the city.
Let me be nice
really
to us.
Like, nah, I'm being real. Mm. Like, the fans is crazy, right?
Right.
And the fans could ultimately become the sixth man. You feel what I'm saying?
Ooh.
But I think that
with New York,
it has to be like, it got to be a fabric. You know what I mean? It got to be an understanding that, you know, this is the Knicks. This is how the Knicks rocking and rolling. This
no, we sucked for 20 years.
You know what I mean? And, like, you know, it has to be, like, no matter if, you know, like, one, you can't just keep trying to put pieces together. You feel what I'm saying? Because that's going to always.
Did you think when they traded Melo that was a bad move?
I don't necessarily think it was a bad move.
Wow.
I don't think it was. I thought it was one.
I was pissed.
I mean, shit, everybody was pissed.
You know what
I
mean?
I think everybody
was
pissed.
He's Puerto Rican, man.
But at the same time.
Straight to Puerto Rican.
Is he?
I think that.
Yeah. Puerto
Rican? Fuck yeah, he's Puerto Rican, man. You don't trade Puerto Ricans. Yeah. That's not the way this works. Come on, right, Dredge? Come on.
I don't think it's that, dog. I just think it was.
What you got to do with that?
He's my friend. I met him just now, and we together already. Like, that's it. That's the way it works. What's going on? Nigga got a pink Gap shirt on. He got to relax.
I know.
He's my friend. That's not the way it works.
No, not the Swishers.
What? He's there? Bring him in. Paul, get out of the seat.
Yo, hold up one sec, man. Drink Champs Army. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated and confusing, but there's a better way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event, whether you're searching for the last-minute deal, planning a night out, or need to find the perfect gift. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team, band, MC, whatever. And SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app right now on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually use SeatGeek all the time for the games, Miami Heat games, my dogs use it, we all use SeatGeek. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Your budget, not the next dude's budget, not the next chick's budget, it's your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports to concerts to comedy to theater to whatever. Don't go to those other apps, those others, they're not supporting Drink Champs. They're not a part of the Drink Champs army. SeatGeek is. Best of all Drink Champs listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. So just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code DRINK. That's D-R-I-N-K today. That's promo code DRINK for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Get that, Drink Champs Army.
What? I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. All right, don't worry about it. You got to mic him. Yeah, mic the nigga now. Listen.
So, no, but this is what it is, man. Yeah, it's like they have to, you know, with the Melo thing, it's like, I'm not mad at that trade because it was kind of like it was coming to an end. And if you can't honor somebody who's like, or figure out a way to like make it right, you know what I mean? Or make it right for him, then let him do what he needs to do. You know what I mean? He towards the end of his career, let him go get a shot to go play with somebody else. You know what I mean? Be happy and do what he want to do, because right now it's not Melo's fault. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, it can't be all on one player. You feel what I'm saying? So it's about like, where's the system that protects the players? When you look at Golden State, you know what I mean? You always talking about Golden State Warriors.
Well, he went to OKC.
Golden State Warriors. No, yeah. I'm just saying, Golden State Warriors. Right. Or when you talk about Cleveland, yeah, you talk about LeBron, but it's like the Cleveland Cavaliers. They got a system, you know what I mean?
Well, and have
like,
you ever been to a system?
Or not, the system is in play to win. San Antonio, the system is in play to win. You come here, you play in a certain way.
Have you ever been to a system where you didn't agree with the system, but you got traded there? Let's talk about it, man.
I got traded everywhere.
This is Drink Champs. Let's talk about it,
man. I think everywhere I got traded was like starting in New Orleans when I got traded to Golden State. You know, they was like dead. It was like Night of the Living Dead. You feel what I'm saying? So I didn't want to be there. But at the same time, it was just like, damn, like these dudes walking around like zombies. Like, they don't even want to play basketball. Right. And I've been hurt. So, like, we got to do something. Jay Rich, the only one who really wanted to play. So I was like, shit, man, it's like Night of the Living Dead. And so I didn't want to be there, but, you know, turn it around, I guess. Right. You know, once we got the right coach and it seemed to, like, start working, you know what I mean? And then when I got traded to Cleveland, I didn't want to be in Cleveland. You know what I'm saying?
No Kyrie, like, no LeBron.
Kyrie was still in high school, and LeBron had just left. So they had come off, like, losing 23, 24 straight. So it was like,
yeah, Cleveland and then was, it was like, was man, not a great on, place man. To be.
But went to Cleveland, made the most out of it. You know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, they turned it around after that. You feel what I'm saying? So it didn't really matter, like, I think when I went to the Clippers, that was probably the worst kind of system that I went to.
And you was under Sterling?
Yeah.
Because let me just tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I was trying to get an apartment in L.A. My credit is horrible. Nobody approved me. The only building that approved me was the Sterling building.
Because you pay cash. Because you pay cash.
I hit my manager, Ali, and I'm like, yo, I'm going to sit here. He's like, you can't move to Donald Sterling's building. Oh, man, and I'm like, what? He's like, that's like moving into Trump. And I'm like, oh, yo, I did everything beside my fucking name to this fucking check. And he's like, you cannot move there. And he called Magic Johnson a nigga. Like, how do you call? Like, out of everybody you could call a nigga, I just feel like Magic get the pass.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't supposed to call, like, he's like, he's not supposed to be a nigga. Like, I went too far. How you call Magic a nigga? Like, when did you, as a person who played for an NBA team, as a person who played and know the politics, when you heard that, were you shocked or were you like, this is normal?
I wasn't shocked at all.
What?
When I got there, what shocked me is when I got there, and when I did my press conference, it was almost like the movie The Devil's Advocate. As soon as I come off the press conference, the chief dude of like communications said, hey man, he may say something to you. You know what I mean? I know you from here. But he may say something to you that may be out of pocket or something.
Oh, I'm like, man, what you talking
about?
I'm like,
you talking about when you was playing for the Clippers?
No, that's I'm talking about after I announced, after I gave the speech and whatnot.
What?
Because I didn't know. You know what I mean? I'm like, yo, I'm coming back to L.A. I'm about to get it rocking. I'm going to turn it around. Yeah. You feel what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Like, no matter what, like, I'm not thinking about who the owner is. I can give a fuck about who the owner is.
And they, so they're warning you about the owner.
He said, yo, he going to say some crazy shit. I said, man, he ain't going to say no crazy shit to me. Like, he ain't about to say shit to me. But then, like, every day you live in it, dog, you realize, like, oh, shit, this is, like, a dictatorship. You know what I mean? And people say, like, the man's racist. It's like, that man hate everybody. You feel what I'm saying? He don't have no respect for nobody. Wow. So it's like, racism is just like, racism is a short word to describe him. You feel what I'm saying? Wow. That's like a cop-out word to describe him and like the way that the whole system was being ran. So for me, it was just like, no bullshit. After my first year, I went to Africa. I was like, you know what? Like, either I'm gonna do something crazy or I need to go somewhere where I feel like I need to appreciate everything that I have as a black man in America. And so I went to Africa and I, you know, went to Africa like 3 or 4 weeks.
Wow.
And just was like, I needed to see something else. You know what I mean? I went to Tanzania, Rwanda. Mm. Man, and it just kind of like low-key like changed my life. Especially
Rwanda, that's where like
the gorillas. Yeah,
where had a genocide. And then like you
right
see.
Right now you see what's going on in Liberia?
Libya.
Libya with the slave trade.
With the slave trade.
Yeah, that's
like,
crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's like when you look at the world, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we look at ourselves here in the United States, and we all privileged, you feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, and we don't know shit, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we don't know shit until we go outside the country and really see how people really live and like the shit that they got and the resources they use and like how appreciative they are for life, you feel what I'm saying? And so that's what taught me about, like, dude, this ain't no dude, no racist, you feel what I'm saying? Like, I'm big, like Donald Sterling, it was like, he ain't no racist, I'm bigger than him, you know what I mean? And so, one, I'm letting everybody know, this man racist, dog, and you, homeboy, you better not say shit to me, you better not say this shit to me, I'm gonna sit here, I'm gonna hoop as much as I can, but I can't come to this arena knowing that I'm trying to win games, knowing that he gonna win, so I'm fucked. So I can't play. You feel what I'm saying?
So let me ask you something, because I know you got to get up out of here. When the people start kneeling, big up Colin Kaepernick, because I feel like he doesn't get his just due for what he... So people started kneeling, right? Yeah. And now the kneeling things kind of got out of the controversy, because the thing about it is now they're focusing on the kneeling, but the kneeling part was to promote police brutality, police injustice. Yeah, right. It was like, you know,
to protest and not promote it.
The innocent killings of unarmed black people.
Right.
And when they started kneeling, what happened was people start to focus on the actual kneeling as opposed to the actual protest and what they were kneeling for.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
It's the great big distraction. Mm. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. And I think that, you know, it's like, it's easy to run where the glow is. It's easy to run where the line is. It's easy to run where everybody running to, you feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But to not understand. And so my whole thing is, what's the solution?
Mm.
Right? Mm-hmm. What's the solution? So, you know, we kneeling, that's cool. We showing that we protest, and we showing that we standing up. We expressing ourselves, we expressing our rights. But what's the solution? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because when it's time to meet, and it's a meeting of the minds, like, who's there with a plan and saying, you know what? All this killing got to stop. How do we fix it? Mm. You feel what I'm saying? Mm. Instead of like, man, what are we, and not to disrespect no movement, you know what I mean? But I think that for us to like keep rewriting the same playbook of protest, you know what I mean? When like we look at the power that we do have within ourselves, we can rewrite the system by just looking at ourselves differently. You feel what I'm saying? How do you stop police brutality? I say, let's educate these kids and let's educate them to grow up to want to be policemen in their community.
Police yourself.
Yeah, because if you grow up, right, and one of your best friends from elementary school is a policeman, you feel what I'm saying?
You respect him a little
bit
more.
And, but I know your story.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
So I know your story, you feel what I'm saying? But we don't look at opportunities or the jobs, and not that these are opportunities that exist. We got to go out and we got to figure out the solution. How do we create these things to stop us from being looked at, you know what I mean, in this position? You feel what
you
I'm
know
saying?
What was different from when I grew up, EFN and Baron, was like the police used to fuck bitches in my hood. Right?
Man, they regular people too.
So they was regular
niggas.
You feel
what I'm saying? They regular people too.
They identified. Like, we knew that nigga. What's up, nigga? Like, but nigga, like, I seen you. Put your pants off. You gotta relax.
But think about it. You like, get somebody from Cincinnati. Right. You get somebody from Cincinnati, police. Right?
Yeah, now
or you get somebody from the South who police different. Now he gets shipped to New York, right? He get traded to New York. You feel me? Now, the way he was policing down South, he gonna police in New York.
Exactly.
Now he come to your hood, right? When your homeboy that you went to school with was supposed to be the police in that community, you feel what I'm saying? Now he come there, and now when he run into you, you know, it's a whole confrontation thing, because he don't know you, you don't know him, and now you mean confrontation. You feel what I'm saying? So it ain't no understanding. You feel what I'm saying? It's always a misunderstanding, because we don't create enough solutions for us to understand ourselves and for people to understand that we more than just a motherfucker sitting on the street corner or, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, and big ups to you for doing this show, for like, you know, giving light to people, you know what I'm saying? To be able to like, you know, speak their ignorance, speak their peace, whatever it is, you feel what I'm saying? So, you know.
$1 million thing. $100 million.
Wait, $100 million. You got $100 million.
You want a mic?
Go closer.
You want a mic?
You got $100 million.
The NFL is giving $100 million to causes to get the players to stop kneeling.
Oh,
it was a big article in the New York Post.
Oh, hell no, I didn't read that one.
I don't know. I read that.
They're giving out. They're basically saying, hey, we're gonna put $100 million towards these problems.
See, but here's the deal.
Awareness to get y'all to stop kneeling.
Because I know Baron got a ghost, but here's the deal.
Yeah, man, it's like, you know.
If they would put that same, because the thing about it is this. We're not lying. We're not making these stories up.
No, not at all.
This is actually happening.
Man, all the time.
Innocent black people are being murdered.
All the time.
Every fucking day by the hands of the police.
Right, but we forgot. We forgot. Mm-hmm. We forgot because it became a Trump thing, and it became against the flag, and now you disrespecting America. You feel what I'm saying? And so it was like, hold on, fuck the police. You disrespecting America. We're going to make it about something totally different. Right? And now everybody started kneeling for different purposes, different reasons, and what's the solution?
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, I think that we living in a world because of, like, we got the power of social and viral for us to understand and have a better perspective of what's going on in the world. Mm. But at the same time, like, we can get caught in the web of just following shit. Mm. You know what I mean? And shit can just become viral. Mm. You know what I mean? And so you run the risk of positive things happening, negative things happening, things getting misunderstood. You feel what I'm saying? And so you get further and further away from actual solutions. You know what I mean? Because it's like, It's an America thing. You feel what I'm saying? And like, you know, black, look at us. Mm-hmm. Look at this fucking room. You feel what I'm saying? Look at this
every
room.
Every nationality.
So you can't tell me.
We like
you can't
United
tell
Nations.
Me. Yeah, you can't. Like, we ain't no. It ain't no minority,
homeboy.
You feel what I'm saying? It ain't no minority. But if you grow up and you believe you the minority, you feel what I'm saying? You're going to always feel like you got to fight to, you know, like, we the fucking, as far as I'm looking at it, we the majority. We all look and working on this shit and coming together and doing the same thing. You feel what I'm saying? So that shit just be a distraction, man. You feel me?
Now, how did you get in the Adam Sandler movie? Because Adam Sandler only fucks with his people. That's it. He don't fuck with new niggas. I'm going to apologize. You got to relax. So, How, because I think you've been in like three, right?
I think like one, like a commercial.
You was a semi-pro too, right?
No.
You didn't, what movie?
That was Will Ferrell's semi-pro. Oh, That's My Boy with Adam Sandler.
Okay,
and, that's Sandler, my boy. Like, we just started hooping together in New York. Oh, yeah. And that's like the big homie, man. That's like big bro.
He tried to say that very nonchalant. Hey. Did you hear he said it? We just thought, nigga, you play ball with Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Let's rewind that, nigga. That's not normal, nigga. I was just playing ball with him. So that's how y'all started.
Yeah, and he just passed me the ball. Like, he liked to dribble and throw dimes. He played like Steve Nash. So shoot the ball all the time. We was in the New York Sports Club. And so he was like, man, I was like, yo, I'm a big fan, yada, yada. And then we got a lot of ties in L.A. So, you know, I was always sweating. I'm like, yo, they put me in a movie, man. And I always walked by his office. Hey, man, yeah.
And what was your first movie?
And That's My Boy was my first movie. But we did a commercial for, like, the NBA and his movie, The Zohan. And that's how we, like, we had to do it for the NBA. And he was like, yo, you funny. And I was like, man, thank you, dog. And then he just started, like, looking out for me every time, like, yo, you want to do this, you want to be in this, and I'm like, damn, dude, you know, it's a blessing, because he really, like, fuck with me and think, like, yo, this dude funny, you know what I'm saying? Right.
So, like, because a lot of people, like, one-track minded, meaning you got one thing to do, so how did you come up with that intuition to say, you know what, after I'm done with ball, I want to, you know, experience with that. How did you even come up with that?
For me, it was more so like, that was a, you know, once your body wear out, like, you use your mind. Uh-huh. And, you know, for me, basketball was never really, like, physical. That's why I always played hurt, because I didn't give a fuck. It was just like a release, and it was more about creativity. You know what I mean?
Wait, hold on, I'm sorry. You said your body gives out? This is true?
Yeah, your body break down. I mean, you look at athletes, and eventually, like, you just can't perform.
Like, I feel like I can beat Tiger Woods right now. Like, I'm just throwing it out there.
Man, no way.
In what?
In golf. Right now, fuck Tiger Woods up. I just feel like he lost it.
Hey, he gonna step on the golf course. You gonna look at him. You gonna be like, damn, just like you did with Phil Jackson. You gonna be like, damn, I don't want this thing. Fuck that Tiger. You know what? I be your caddy, dog.
Nah, I've been looking at Tiger. Tiger look like Tiger taking pills, man. Tiger on ecstasy, man. Listen, I should take ecstasy. I know Tiger's on ecstasy right now.
I'm gonna kill you, probably.
But you're saying your body does actually.
Yeah, your body breaks down, man. Yeah. Like, you train, but, like, you just can't perform at, you know, sometimes the pace and the level, you know what I mean? Because the game is getting faster and faster, you know what I mean? So you have to be, you know, smart about how you train and as you get older. But eventually, like, your body's going to break down.
Wow.
And, like, every athlete say, you know, you ride till the wheels fall off, you know what I mean? Because it's the one thing that you grew up with. It's the one thing you love. I mean, that's a controversy around football. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, how do you tell a kid that's been doing this all his life that he loves this? You know what I mean? This is, like, what he has to, like, stop. Mm. And it's, like, hard, you know, even though it has health restraints. You know what I mean? So it's just, like, it's crazy because it's, like, an outlet, and it's, like, the only thing that we have. So for me, it was just, like, damn, I could use my mind. Basketball dudes got crazy stories. We tell crazy stories. Dudes is funny. And I'm already in L.A., so I'm going to go into movies and making movies. And like,
very smart.
Yeah, so that's what it was.
So this is the last question I got, because they're trying to wrap us up. Do they smoke weed in the NBA?
I mean, not inside the NBA.
Like a trick question.
Not in the NBA. Not like in the NBA, you know what I mean? I think, like, the commissioner and, like, the people in the NBA, they don't smoke weed.
But the players, they get busy?
Whoever smokes is what he's saying.
Yeah, I'm basically, it's like to each his own, you know what I mean? I don't know who personally smokes.
No, you don't. You ain't got to snitch.
But, like, you know, if you smoke weed, you smoke weed, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. But look, how could it be legal in L.A. but it's illegal for an athlete.
I don't like that. You know, honestly, I think, like, the rules will change because, you know, it's like, man, you play so hard. You feel what I'm saying?
You need, like, some smoke.
Man, sometimes you need to, like, need your burn. Body needs to calm down, or, you know, the CBD oil, and it's known to, like,
look,
be
look,
a
Baron know what he's talking about.
A healing. You know what I mean? It's known to be healing.
Said CBD you feel me? Oil.
So all that shit. All that shit, I'm just saying, bro. I'm just saying. The rules gonna change, bro. The rules gonna change.
The rules gotta change.
The rules gotta change because it's like it's a high demand on your body, dude. It's high stress. It's not a lot of sleep. You know what I mean? And, like, I'd rather somebody smoke weed than take pills. I'd rather somebody smoke weed than become an alcoholic and become a drunk.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
That's
and
true.
Then when you look back in the history of, like, all the great players who fell to alcoholism and pills and cocaine and shit, maybe if they had some bud, that's all maybe they wanted. You know what I mean? Because that ain't known to, like, cause you to, you know, I ain't never heard nobody.
Nah, niggas don't suck dick on weed. This is true. It's true. Yeah. Before we get to the Black Santa, do you think that Kaepernick should have talked more? Cause I feel like that was kind of a mistake. Like, he took a stance and then he didn't explain his stance.
Absolutely.
Is that a problem? And we get right into Black Santa.
Yeah, I think it should have been a solution. It should have been a preparation for it. You feel what I'm saying? And I think that, you know, what he was doing was what was true to his heart. Mm. You feel what I'm saying? And, like, that's what his purpose and his goal and his mission was about. And then I think that everybody else started putting spices in the gumbo. You know what I mean?
Because after Trump said, these sons of bitches...
Which is way later.
But that's way later. You know what I mean? That's way later, dog. That's way later. You know what I mean? That's way later. And that's the whole thing about, like, the viral thing is, like, you know, where was everybody a year when he was doing it? You know what I'm saying?
And now he don't have a job now. That's kind of terrible.
And he's still fighting a good fight. You feel me? He's still fighting.
So let's get into Black Santa.
No, so Black Santa to me is like a solution. And so, you know, like, traveling the world, you know, and it's like, man, I've
so you have a black guy show up like Santa?
Yeah, so it's black.
I feel like I should be Black Santa. I'm just throwing it out there. I got a stomach.
You are. Yeah, let's do it. Anybody can be Santa. Okay. You feel what I'm saying? And so that was my whole thing is, like, why does Christmas have to be told with a certain type of stiffness, aesthetic, and a look and a feel? You know what I mean? When somebody created that. So why can't I create, and I ask you the question, do you know a black man that's jolly all the time, friendly, you can trust, you can depend on, and you can make wishes to, you know what I mean? Like, we don't have that. So as kids, as adults, we don't have that imagery. And so for me, it's to, like, go in and to look at, you know, storytelling, to look at, you know, from a kid's perspective, you know what I mean? From a family's perspective, it's how can I give you an image and then create through this vision and in this world of inclusion, this world of diversity through this black man eyes. Because a black Santa don't just have black people around. You feel what I'm saying? Right. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, that's the story we want to tell. And basically, kids get to see themselves and they get to see their dreams and wishes and have somebody that they can believe in
and trust identify with.
You feel what I'm saying? And identify with every time that holiday season come around. And so, you know, I created this this Black Santa character in this company basically to be able to tell stories of diversity, you know, Latino Cinderellas, you know what I mean? Just, you know, everything.
Drink champs.
Everything.
Get your wallet out, EFN. I feel like we got to donate. I just feel like it.
Let's do it.
I feel like it's coming.
What is it you putting out, like merchandise
So storytelling merchandise. We're releasing a mixtape. So the mixtape is coming out in a week, a Christmas mixtape.
Black Santa?
Yeah, so Black Santa is releasing a mixtape.
Black Santa.
And then we got merchandise.
I want to meet that
ornaments, wrapping paper, you know, blacksanta.com. He around, you know. He'll pop up on you, you know what I mean? And so we just really just building the movement and the growth where it's going to be education-based, entertainment-based, in a world where we can all utilize each other's talent to, like, spew out a bit bigger message and bigger...
Well, let's make some noise for Black Santa, goddammit. And before we let you go, I'm going to throw something out there. Yesterday, I woke up, I had 4 gray hairs. Oh, my God.
Dog.
You got... You dying?
Hey, dog, I had one right here and the shit. I was like...
You got one over there.
I got like five now. No, I had one right here and the shit was sticking out that way. That shit felt like it was that long.
Look at his shit, man. He's disrespectful.
But his is polished. You know what I mean? They got flow. I got that one. I was like trying to cut that motherfucker. That shit kept growing.
Must have died itself backwards, yo.
Man. Yo,
I woke up. I told my wife. I was like, oh shit. I kept trying to plug it. And my wife had a fucking a scissor. Like, what is she running around with scissors for? And she cut my shit. And then I woke up and I had four right here. I was like,
Man, somebody's like, yo, man, how old are you? I was like, man, I'm 38. Like, damn, bro, I'm 38. And I look in the mirror, I got gray hairs. Like, damn, I got gray hairs, dog. Like, I feel good. You feel what I'm saying?
Too.
But the gray hairs remind you, like, homeboy, like,
It just reminds me, I gotta shave every day. Yeah. Yo, listen, make some noise for the legend, Baron Davis.
Appreciate you, bro.
Motherfucking legend, all-star, great, motherfucking L.A., we got to show this man some love. Make some noise!
What up, Drink Champs Army? EFN here. Just want to remind y'all to pick up merch at drinkchamps.com or 89.com. We really appreciate y'all supporting us, whether you watch us on Revolt or listening to us on Audio Boom, whether it be iTunes or Spotify or however you get the audio, or watching us on YouTube or Revolt.tv. We appreciate the Drink Champs Army, but you could also further support us and make sure, you know, you rocking the latest in Drink Champs apparel, and check us at drinkchamps.com. Follow us, drinkchamps.com. You can find the merch there, or 89.com. And also follow us on all our socials. That's at Drink Champs across the board, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm at Who's Crazy on Instagram, at DJ EFN on Twitter and Facebook, and Nori's at The Real Noriega on Instagram, at Noriega on Twitter and on Facebook. Check us.